Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and I am joined, as always, by two of my best buds in the whole wide world, Bridget and Dupesnacks. And we have a very, very fun episode for you today. It has been a minute since our last one, but that's because we had the season starting, actually multiple competitive seasons starting across the world, which is crazy. One was a big LAN, the other some epic online tournaments. We're going to have a lot to recap. It's really fun. But we also had a brand new Pokemon release that we're going to be getting into, and Psyduck is here, and it's so good. I'm really excited about this episode. There's a lot to talk about. Before we get to any of that, let's just check in with my two hosts here with me, see how things are going. Bridget, my friend, I believe you were camping this weekend. How was it?
I was. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Lots of hiking and trying to get service so I could see what was happening in the tournament. It was a good time.
I like that. The climb the mountain to get better receptions, the mini quest to watch more LAIC. I like it.
Yeah, it's better if you have to work for it.
Okay, hey. Some would say that is absolutely true. That's awesome. Dupesnacks, we both had pretty long travel days, kind of today for me, but also today and yesterday. But how have you been?
Doing good. A little tired. Mm-hmm. So I think as soon as we wrap this thing up, I'm going to go straight to bed. But other than that, I think it was a pretty successful weekend. I think the energy and excitement for Unite, competitive Unite, is certainly back. So mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it has been awesome. We were talking about this a few times throughout the weekend. I mean, you, me, and then a bunch of the people who work on the show. Obviously, Pokemon Unite has not been in the most exciting place in a minute. We've been no strangers to saying that on the podcast for a while now. It was pretty awesome to have a weekend to just kind of forget all that and allow myself and ourselves to focus on one of the most exciting, fun things about this game, which is competitive, for an entire weekend. Very cool. Back to reality a little bit. We're going to relish in it for one more podcast episode, I think. That's where we're going to be. And honestly, not too hard to do right now because a pretty fantastic addition to the game has come through with a brand new support added to the game in Psyduck. Psyduck released just this last week, basically the day of LAIC beginning. It was brought into the game. Therefore, it was not allowed for competitive play, but it is out there in the wild, and I'm sure the two of you have quite a few games on it already. So I'm going to kind of defer to the two of you. Bridget, let's start with you. How has your experience with the new support in Unite been?
So much fun. I love it so much. Uh-huh. I feel like you were, Zoinks, you told me early on, I don't know if anyone's in Honor of Kings player, that you thought it reminded you of support in there called Dahlia. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I kind of see it, but yeah, I like felt it a lot, and I love that character in H2K. Mm-hmm. So having some elements from that game brought over into Unite, oh, Surf is so fun. I can't even fully, I don't know what it just scratches a really good part of my brain. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Is that your favorite move by far on that Pokemon as a Surf?
Yeah, I haven't tried Bubble Beam. It looks interesting. I was watching my friend Gary play that moveset earlier, and he was explaining it to me. It looked really cool. Actually, I think it looks fun, but you can't get me off Surf right now.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to not play that move, I think, right now. Dupesnacks, how about you? First impressions with the newest support to the game.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's way too strong.
Okay.
That's going to get put in the trash can. Hopefully not too viciously, right? But if you want to talk just general supporters, supporters' power level is like just naturally on average higher than every other class in the game. Maybe not Defender, but it's still pretty up there. This is no exception. It's a ton of fun. It's an absolute blast playing this Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I love it. It plays a lot like the supports that I've like leaned to throughout all of my Unite playing. So
yeah, you know,
Sableye, like Wiggly in some respects, even Hoopa, where it's not like straight up heals. It's more, you know, the actions you're doing is helping your team, right?
Right.
It just happens to be through that portal reset. But the way you're maneuvering those characters all kind of align to me, or at least texturally feel the same. So as soon as I fired up, it was the greatest thing. I actually hit Masters with it while we were all gaming together.
Nice.
Which was super sick. And the damage is ridiculous. Like, I keep making the joke that I am not good at this game, which I'm not. I'm pretty medium, but When I'm hitting 70, 75, 80,000 damage with a light bulb Psyduck, I can't look at that and not think, like, this is they're going to turn the volume down on this a little bit. This is crazy. That's funny. But all in all, A+. I love it. I immediately paid $20 to get the Holoware. I was like, I'm not gonna sauce up without that thing.
Dupesex was the credit card gift meme, you know, where he's slamming the table and throwing it at the camera. It was frame 100%. One.
Oh, without a doubt. So yeah, A+ release. I'm a big fan. It's gonna get nerfed. Just don't know when.
Yeah.
And if it's included in the Aeos Cup play-ins here and. Literal 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You can guarantee that teams with players with attacking support, you got to think Otter is going to just step into that and absolutely rake people with it. So, for those of you playing in that NAA's Cup playing qualifier, I hope you either know how to play or know how to stop it, because there's going to be one team out there that's going to be able to beat you with it.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, Dupesex, you love it, but the sentiment is that it is too strong right now.
It's too strong.
Let's go back to a world where let's drop a ban. Let's say we're in season 2, where we only have one ban per team. Is Orange Side forced into banning Darkrai or forced into banning Psyduck?
Darkrai, not close.
Oh, okay. Well, not close is interesting. Caveat there. So you do think Darkrai is that far and above the ability of having a Psyduck on your team?
Yes.
Okay. 100%. Wow. Dang. Darkrai. You know what it comes down to? Palace of its own.
You know what it comes down to is the time people will have to play the character before it becomes turn
100%. Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I feel like Psyduck is going to go through a interesting arc in terms of how players. Get good with it, right? Like, right now, it's early on. That Pokemon is just doing ridiculous damage. People don't exactly know how to play around it, but it's not like there's much counterplay to it at the moment. There is. Stay with me here for a sec. So I think eventually people are going to, like, start to learn, okay, Psyduck's not good into this and this. We're going to start playing this on lighter a little bit. Psyduck's going to dip. But then there's going to be the era of where really good Psyduck players start getting that, like, you know, people start unlocking this level of Psyduck, and all of a sudden it's going to rise up and be terrifying, and then we're going to have to find, like, really hard, interesting text to it. I don't know. It's going to be a interesting Pokemon to follow.
Listen, take this into account as well. The best players on the planet haven't been playing Psyduck for the first week.
True.
Because they've all been doing other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how
Psyduck
it goes.
Psyduck wasn't legal. So, I think Psyduck is kind of a mess in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. If it is legal and you're going to one ban, I still think you're on Darkrai. But if it's two bans, like...
Orange might be locked up.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, people are going to learn the hard way, which is tough. So,
yeah.
I'm excited for it. However things shake up, shake down, Aeos Cup Plans is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Cool. Quick note, if you're listening to this podcast, you're just a casual Pokemon Unite fan and not as into the tournament scene, shocked by how you got here, but just a quick recap on what Psyduck does. It brings a lot of new things to the table. It is the first Pokemon in the game that increases the enemy Pokemon's move cooldowns, I believe, right? I don't think a single other Pokemon does that in the roster. With its move Disable, which I think is probably the more popular one than Confusion. Bridget, how about on that move slot? Have you played? Which one have you been playing with?
I have only been saving Disable, but what's the other moveset called?
I think it's Confusion Bubble Beam is the other one, but...
Mm-hmm. I thought Confusion was the early game move, but that might be wrong.
Or it's Psychic. I don't know. It's basically a little yoink, but it's not a hook to
the you. Other one, like the other one looks cool, too.
Is it Telekinesis?
I think so.
All right. I'll look it up. Keep talking about it.
I know. I'm looking it up, too.
Okay, perfect.
That one's like the ranged, like, taunt move. Yeah, it's psychic, right?
Okay.
It looks really cool, though. I have seen other people play it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the consensus on it, but basically it looks like a ranged kind of, like, follow me, which seems very annoying, but...
Yes. It does. a targetable taunt, which is... Cool. I mean, yeah, it's a really cool Pokemon. I do think, well, actually, to the question of two of you have actually played a bunch of games with it, would you consider this to be a beginner, like, level Pokemon, like, easy to pick up, or do you think it is a difficult Pokemon to master? Where is it at?
Bridget, you can go first if you want.
I'd say in the middle, because although it is kind of, like, not too confused. Like, I don't, none of the combos are very, like, confusing by any means. Okay. But if you don't know that disable makes their cooldown longer, you might not be playing it as optimally. Also, mm-hmm. like, if you don't know if you surf, if you're using surf and your allies touch your wave, they also go faster. Like
so much faster.
Yeah,
that's
like
right.
This is
crazy. That was maybe the first thing I figured out. And that was how I was using surf for like the first three games. And Zoinks was like, I'm moving really fast. I'm like, yeah, hop on, buddy. We're going.
We're surfing.
And it was like a different, it was a different use than how we used to play around Leaf Tornado a lot of the time, right? Because Leaf Tornado was a lot of like more for aggressive pushes, like the plus blinds, it gives you that boost speed to kind of do engages. Kirk was scooping me. I would be like, I need help. And he's like, I got you. Just this little Baywatch moment as he swoops through lane and comes and picks me up and we're swimming back to Gomesil. Oh, it was awesome. I loved it. It was, it's a really interesting move. But Bridget, yeah, sorry to cut you off. You are.
No, perfect.
Yeah, the combos are good there. Yeah, I think I tend to agree. It feels like the one reason I would never consider it to be in the beginner category is just because of that, like, headache mode optimization, like you were talking about. Like, it feels like if you know how to play around those moves, you're going to be a much better Psyduck. So maybe this is one of those unique cases where it feels like the floor for this Pokemon is like, I don't know, that's not really a great way to describe it, but it's pretty easy to learn, but it's also kind of hard to master at the same time, which is kind of cool. For a Pokemon, I do think that like stun effect that you get when you come out of headache mode is like the one sort of counter that Psyduck has to watch out for. Like if good teams are be able to track that, that will be that'll be difficult for a Psyduck to play around. But otherwise, I think it's obviously a great Pokemon. Deucenax, how about you on difficulty to master this Pokemon?
Yeah, movesets easy. What's difficulty is managing that headache gauge. I think that's going to be the thing that's kind of going to become the difference maker between good Psyduck players and great Psyduck players.
Yeah.
And another reason why it's hecka overpowered is because I'm a, at best, good Psyduck player and have no idea how to manage a headache meter, and I was capping everybody on the map. So
don't get hit.
Just don't get hit. Yeah, there you go.
The release is awesome. It's a lot of fun, but it needs to be nerfed, unfortunately.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, we've gotten pretty used to a release cycle like this, you know?
What? So,
it's okay. Honestly, the opposite was true for a time, and we weren't huge fans of it either, so who knows? But right now, I am a huge fan of that Pokemon. I myself have not played with it, but I love having a Psyduck with me in lane. It is a great lane partner. Very, very cool Pokemon. So, W. Timmy. Good introduction. We're not going to talk about the leaks for the new Pokemon releasing or any of the events or anything like that on this episode. Maybe next week's episode, we just got a lot to talk about. So we're going to be jumping out of just general game stuff, and let's start talking about the tournament. So LAIC happened this weekend. I was referring to two tournaments at the beginning of the episode, though, when I was kind of doing the initial rundown. Latin America International Championships began this weekend, therefore kicking off the Unite Championship Series. But at the same time, literally the exact same weekend, the Asia Champions League also began with week one in Japan, SEA, and India. So we got a lot of competitive Pokemon Unite to kind of look over. Obviously, Bridget was on a mountain, and Doopsnax and I were casting one event, so our actual watch time of ACL is not as much as we've seen. We do have a lot of stats and kind of placements and standings that we can look over, which will be really cool. And if you're looking for more of that content, I'm planning on doing a lot of watch parties to catch up on ACL, because I want to try to keep as frequent as I can with that tournament, because it's really fun. I'm really excited to watch. So look forward to that. But for now, let's start with LAIC. Let's just start with our classic look back on events. Doopsnax, what was your favorite part of LAIC this weekend?
It had to be Brazil winning their semifinal best of five to qualify for the grand finals on Sunday. The place was coming unglued. Yeah. Like the building was falling apart around us. It was awesome. Like that was such a cool moment to be, because Spragles and I were out in the crowd watching that go down, and it was the best. It was just the best.
Yeah, it was awesome. So this weekend, obviously, it was you and Spraggles casting together, and then I was paired with Soph, who is local to Brazil, which was very funny, because we approached it with like, yeah, we'll have like a non-biased cast, and who were we kidding? immediately was not the case, but it was a very fun weekend, and I have to admit, day two, I think Soph and I were blessed with the good games to cast. Like, we had a lot of bangers, so we had the opportunity to that one between Tuzi and Praga for the like semifinals was so awesome, and then like, we had the nouns game before that too, so we had a lot of good stuff. It was really fun. Bridget, were you able to catch any of the event?
I didn't really like get to choose what I watched. I just kind of whatever was playing when I woke up was about what I saw. It was a lot of fun. I was very impressed with, especially I feel like day two was, especially from a viewing experience, a bit better. We can get into it, but best of ones are tricky, it seemed like. So.
Oh, I wish that was the worst thing about day one. All right. let me jump into it while I've already got on this topic. Okay, so this was the first foray into LAIC for Pokemon Unite. There's obviously a lot of things to work on. Unfortunately, everything kind of broke on day one. I didn't know there's some registration snafus with the organizers thinking that more teams were going to make it, that were signed up, but unfortunately didn't. So there had to be kind of a structure change, which led to the change into best of ones for the group stage, which already is really unfortunate. The good thing about that specifically is that if you look at the groups, and we will look at the results across the board, the results were actually extremely consistent, despite being best of one. It helps to have larger groups as well, which means you got like five games of round robin stage for the majority of teams. Things still kind of evened out to where we would expect, but while it's not the best way to play Pokemon Unite, I think the results would not have changed if we went into best of three. Maybe one team here or there would have changed up, but I think for the most part it would stay the same. I'm not saying it's a great thing that it happened, I'm just, you know, watch. Broadcast-wise, it was very difficult. There was a few problems that were just technical-related that led to it being an extremely long day one, and I think we all left kind of thinking that was probably the worst day. That was probably the worst LAN day that we've had out of all of them. The good news was the coin flipped pretty heavy end of Saturday, and I think we actually had one of the best days of LAN competition that we've ever had on day two. Things went extremely smoothly. We did have a couple of pauses here and there. There were some technical issues, but compared to day one, it was night and day. I think broadcast was running better. I can't confirm that for sure. I know, like, they were having trouble with, like, bitrate going out of the venue as well because of internet and stuff. So I think stream was tough to watch at times on day one as well. So, I don't know. Either way, we were just rejoicing at the end of day two. Not to mention, Soph took us out to probably the best steakhouse I've ever been to in my entire life that awesome. Night.
Nice.
We talked about that place for, like, 3 days. We were like, this is the best food we've ever had. So it was a great capstone to an amazing day already. So yeah, wild. Oh yeah, and then Spraggles kicked Dupe's neck. So it was a real day one.
That was awesome. That was so good.
It was. If that's the highlight though, you know. But yeah, it was. Anyway, that was kind of the recap of the issues and everything that happened. But my favorite part of the entire weekend. I'm not even just Tuzi's epic run and like having the crowd behind them and stuff, but I honestly think just meeting so many of the local Brazil talent was really amazing. Like, North America and Europe have both now kind of changed into international events, which I think is awesome for the game and the competitive, like, showcase of it. But I'm really happy that EUIC and NEIC, once upon a time, were more focused events on just the regional level, because I think it was a really special moment for both of those regions to have just kind of a celebration of EU in London and then have a celebration of NA North America. And even though this did have some international representation of teams, it felt like a celebration of Brazil. Like, so many of those teams were coming together for the first time, meeting each other in person for the first time and hanging out and then supporting each other, you know, as teams were getting eliminated, other teams cheering for those teams to push it on. It was awesome to meet so much of the Brazil community. So I think that was going to be my favorite part of the weekend. And Yeah, maybe getting a look at an NA team back on top all of a sudden was also a pretty fun part of the weekend too. That team's on a heater. But let's jump into a bit of event recap then. I'm going to click this button so we move over here. The group stage. So this is what we were talking about before. Group B, C, and D were all led by one team that went undefeated throughout the group stage. Nouns Esports went 5-0 in C. Luminosity went 4-0 in D. And then Fusion went 5-0 in Group B. Group A, though, Tuzi, DreamHack, and XL. Group A was an all-Brazil group, by the way. The top three teams all had a three-way tie at 4-1 between these squads, essentially each beating each other in the group stage. It was really interesting to see them go into day two. Fortunately for DreamHack and XL, they were not able to make it as far, but 2Z did go in a heck of a run. So, yeah. DupeSnax, I know it was a rough day in general, but any matches from the group stage that you found particularly exciting or worth talking about?
None off the top of my head, to be quite honest. Yeah. It was such a rough day.
It was. We kind of blacked out pretty heavy.
It was so difficult. I will say we did have one of like the cleanest Ray fights I've ever seen on day one, which was the YouTube team fight. If you've got, let me see who they.
That was YouTube group against Bad Dream, right?
Yeah, YouTube versus Bad Dreams. I think it was.
Okay.
So that's like a worth just a, like a moment in time going to look. It was very, very well done.
Yeah.
They're up by a decent amount, you know, 150, 200 points, something like that. Kind of like we're comfortable, but it's still losable. And they just ran right at this Bad Dreams team. Heavy slam into the three-player yawn. Into the power nap, into the eject button, Pikachu thunderstorm, and as soon as Phil hit the thunderstorm, the fairy singularity was under him. I mean, there's no escape. It was like the sickest engage ever. They decimated everybody. That was just kind of like a highlight moment for the first day. Burning my entire face on hot tea 3 seconds before the tournament started.
God. Do people know about this? I don't think they do.
I talked about it on broadcast.
Oh, did you?
We were trying to fill for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Which time? Yeah.
Yeah. But like eventually I just talked about it because it was the only way I could get production to understand that I didn't need ice packs because I was hot. It's because I literally had burned my face. And that's when our Pokemon producer, Will, poked his head in when we were off screen. He was like, "Are you serious?" And I was like, "Yes, I need ice or an ice pack really bad." He's like, "Holy shit. Okay, I'll be right back." They literally thought I was just like getting hot in the booth and needed to cool down.
Yeah,
but
they're like, "This diva, like, what is he?"
Yeah, but it was five seconds before the match started. I try to take a drink of tea, like the top thing like comes loose and it just pours over my face. I spit it all out over the electric cords to the left of me. I hear Spragles get on the producers and he's like, "Yeah, we're gonna need like a lot of paper towels." So now like my face is like glowing red. It hurts so bad. So anytime I wasn't on camera, I was literally holding an ice pack against my mouth when I wasn't talking. And then day two, all of the burn blisters started like forming and popping, so that was awful. It was just like the most ridiculous set of events. And then halfway through the day, of course, Spraggles like sweet hip musics me and just kicks me in the side of the side.
Was really good.
The way I described it, because I've watched it around 1,005 times, because I do think it's the funniest clip to ever exist. The funniest part is that it is in three acts, okay? It takes place in three acts. One, it is hilarious that he hikes his pants up for maximum range to swing the leg. The second, the way Deucex falls, because you do not expect it at all. You like fold in half.
I fold because I don't know where he is. Well, also directly to my left is literally hundreds of power cords.
Right.
So like I shift and I step on him and I just trip over those too.
And then he immediately turns to the camera for legal protection. He goes, "I didn't try to kick him." Oh my god, it's the best video it ever happened, and I love it so much.
It was perfect. It was very good.
It was truly
good
perfect.
Stuff, guys.
We had a lot of really fun moments. Shout out to Socials, made like a fun like clip of day one, like a little montage of just goofy moments from us in the booth because, well, we didn't have much else to show, I think, from the match. So it was good to have. But okay, so that led us into day two, of course, which we had a 12 team bracket. This was supposed to be top 16, of course. But because of the format change, they had to just cut down to top 12. However, it worked out pretty well with the round one sort of being almost qualifiers for the top eight, if you want to think about it that way, with all the first seeds getting a first round bye. This is where the excitement really felt like it started. We saw some great games. I think we started with Plaga Exiled to start the day. Oh, no, that's not true. We had YC versus Growth, I believe. But either way, a couple of really good games to start the day. But both ended up being 2-0. And yeah, some big surprises in this bracket. Some other very consistent plays from teams as well. This did introduce the format, though, that I am a huge fan of, and I really hope they keep it the same for every in-person tournament, with semifinals also being a best of five. It was awesome. I know they were both 3-0, and it wasn't a great showcase of what it could potentially get to, but I just think if we're going to end the day on Saturday with not a grand finals and instead just end it with a semifinal, then best of fives is a really cool way, really exciting way to finish off Saturday. So I liked it a lot. But any highlight match Duke Snacks from day two in this bracket?
Brother. there is day two is so fun.
It's so good.
Plaga, I mean, Plaga Fusion.
Plaga.
Plaga Tuzi. Plaga Tuzi Nouns. I mean.
All of quarterfinals.
Dream Max YouTube.
Dream Max YT. Yeah, crazy. I mean, they're like, it was like banger. The only ones that weren't awesome were the ones that Luminosity were in, because they are miles ahead of everybody else right now. They are on a different wavelength. They understand the game. I mean, we can talk about this later, but
yep.
They are miles ahead, and there was nobody that was even close. Like, not close.
Yep.
So literally every other match was sweet because there was a bunch of people operating with the same knowledge, and it almost felt like they were all of a sudden, like, in a spelling contest as kindergartners against a college professor. Like, just no chance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can pivot the storylines too. Actually, Bridget, let's get you in. Did you have a favorite match that you were able to catch during day two?
Like I said, it was like very much like intermittent watching and like checking in and stuff. But Fusion Plaga was like I was like pretty hyped about.
It was a gig.
Really, all the quarter. Yeah, really, I really enjoyed like the quarterfinals games a lot. Three of the four like number one teams getting upset. I was like, oh, that was not on the bingo card for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not at all. It was crazy. Plaga taking them down 2-1 is a wild set. But it's not even a bigger upset. I feel like Tuzi beating Nouns is the big upset,
crazy.
Right? Like, that is the crazy, crazy one. Obviously, there were some tech issues, right? But with the way Fall was playing into that game three, and unfortunately, I think a little bit of how Nouns was playing. Like, I think Tuzi was destined to win
Fall,
that one.
I could talk about Fall all day. Day two Fall was unreal. That kid was, not losing.
Yeah, day two Fall.
It ruled. It ruled.
It's gonna become a meme.
Gosh.
I love it. We gotta watch out for day two Fall at future events.
seriously, it was good.
It was awesome. It was really awesome. Sorry, Dupsex, you were gonna say something about this match?
Yeah. Tuzi, Nouns won game one, Nouns lost game two, right. Tuzi won game three.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair description of how that won. If anybody missed the tournament, that was the wild match where Nouns actually drafted, two former EX Pokemon and Darkrai as the cherry on top, and they didn't walk away with them a game win, which is wild stuff. Yeah, Okay, so let's pivot to the storylines now a little bit. Let's talk about the big name teams here. First off, let's just begin talking about our tournament champions. Let's talk about Luminosity. Yep. They don't drop a map the entire event, right? Obviously, it's best of one, and they went 4-0. So clearly, they did not drop a single map in that game. And then looking here at the finals, 2-0 in quarters, 3-0 in semis, 3-0 in grands. They truly did look like they were another level. Dupesnacks, you were already talking about it. It really felt like there was a big tier gap between the rest of the teams here and LG. Do you have any, like, is it one thing that you're pinpointing? Is it a few things and it's all colliding? Like, what do you think it is that's making Luminosity so special right now?
They've got a different outlook on the game. It feels, I think I said it during broadcast, but they've evolved in the game like Fennel evolved in the game at Worlds, right? It almost felt like nobody was doing what Fennel was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was making every time Fennel was loading into the map, it was going to be a problem. And it didn't matter what five characters they had. Yeah. Luminosity was the same way. They're also approaching the game creatively, right? You know, the old adage of you never use your Unite move before Ray. They were throwing that out the window, and they were making calls and structuring plays. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest example I think you can look at is in the grand finals when they it was so sick. Trainer hit the sickest shadow sneak on Lel, which forced him to pop gravity, which allowed Slash to rotate through their central on Lapras and check on Snorlax and check everyone. Mm-hmm. He saw every character. And the moment he conveyed to them exactly where all five players were, everyone ripped Rayquaza. He had to do was land one heavy slam on the Umbreon that was trying to go in once they realized what was happening. Mm-hmm. And they got their lunch stolen. It was awesome. And it was just, you know, plays like that. It was the my favorite play of the tournament, and I yelled so loud when it happened. I was talking to Otter after they won. He was like, "I heard you scream when I hit this Unite move," and it was the Mew Unite into the choke point back surf.
Yeah,
it was so fucking sick. But like, that's breaking conventional wisdom, right? I'm not saying nobody has ever not use the Mew Unite as a proactive tool.
Right.
But again, the school of thought is it's your reactive tool. It's to get you out of trouble so you can stay in the fight, keep the pressure on, be there to secure. But now they're not playing it as that bottom path attacker role. They're using it as a supporter. So it makes sense to think of it, what it does differently. Yeah. I mean, it was just nasty. They were using Lapras Express just bring Overlord to farm.
Okay, so I talked to them about that, and he apparently was Kyrios made the call, don't use ult, we need it for next fight, don't use ult, and Slash went, guys, they like look, and now Lapras is going past them, yeah. And they're like, well, I guess we'll take a top.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? Because he thought he was using it to crash pad, and they're like, right,
and they called the retreat, and Slash is like, well, I got
this.
He's
like,
now
I already used it, right? Yeah. But like, just being able to find value in these moments.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, whether intentional or not, they mm-hmm. turned it into something that was valuable to their strategy. Mm-hmm. And they were just doing stuff like that over and over and over again. They used Overlord as a bait to jump over the wall into three of their players to make them think they had a good engage in game one. Mm-hmm. And they freaking destroyed him. It was a complete setup. And it was like, fake inting to set up another pro team in the grand finals. Like, that's wild. Yeah. But fake inting with your bet, like, it was crazy. They were just on a different level, and it wasn't close.
Yeah.
So as much as I loved having 2Z Esports in the finals, because I think that was great for Brazil, it was great for the event, it was great for venue energy. Mm-hmm. After that game one, you could hear a pin drop in that venue. After game two, you could feel the air leaving the building.
Right.
It was the collective deflation of like 600 people occurring mm-hmm. at once,
that's so sad.
Which made game three even harder. harder.
Yeah.
Because they actually win a decent team fight, but they are so boomed and so afraid that they don't make the call that is the most conventional wisdom, which is to try and take the objective off the map because they had no better opportunity. They waited. They got the catch they wanted on Overlord, and they waited long enough for Overlord to come back with the only Unite between 10 players. And of course, Overlord's going to run through freaking everybody. So it was... Grand Finals left something to be desired, of course. I would have loved for it to go the full five and get the whole crowd bought in. But it's just not that way because LG right now is on another level. And I think if you're a Western player, certainly if you're a North American player, you could not have asked for a better representative to try and steal spots away from the East than LG right now.
Yeah, they look crazy. That is something that we actually, I don't know if we've had the chance to talk about that on the podcast. No, we might have. I think the news came out just before our last recap episode. But yeah, Luminosity is going to be participating in the Asia Champions League Grand Finals their LAN Finals because of winning this game, which is awesome. So they got a trip to Japan out of this whole thing. That is going to be crazy to see. Bridget, anything to add about LG? Like, what makes them so good right now?
I do feel like they take advantage of comfort picks a lot. They have Otter on Mew running EXP share. Slash is playing like Snorlax. Kyrios, Kyrios just doesn't. I mean, I guess he was obviously playing, but he doesn't compete for a year, and he looks like he's been running this game for a millennia. I don't understand that, but he's crazy. Obviously, Trainer also crazy. And Overlord, I loved the Water Bear. I loved that he was playing that. That was like the only, I'm not sure if anyone else was playing it. I didn't see anyone else playing it. And if I did see Urshifu's, it was like Dark Bear. So I thought that was really unique and cool. And I know he loves that mon. And so I felt like that was kind of like a Fennel-ism I took away from Worlds. Was like they played their comfort mons like when they could. Or they like kind of make them work. And I saw that a lot out of LG. And I thought that definitely worked out well for them.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because I actually, if I'm to define LAIC, like what I think successful teams did and what I think teams that didn't win were not successful at, is I think draft is one of the biggest notes about this tournament. It felt like the one of the most relevant factors throughout this entire event. And I think Luminosity proved that they were the best on it. They were going to comfort picks, but they were also willing to break that mold a little bit. Like we saw Otter even go into things like Blissey and Hoopa, and it felt like they were giving away good picks sometimes, but then it was like, oh, that's why though, because of that interaction or whatever this play was. And it was like, okay, so LG, they got some stuff up their sleeves. It was really cool to see. They seem awesome. I am very pumped for them to play in Japan, but they're gonna be playing in a few events even before that. So there's like the AOS Cup plans potentially if they qualify to represent North America at the AOS Cup, and even if they don't, I think either way they're still probably gonna be at London. So there's a lot of events before that eventual event, but I'm excited to see how this team keeps taking shape and stuff. But okay, let's talk about it.
Little anecdote about LG, which I thought like really exemplifies where their headspace is and their energy right now. They were talking real quick. They're like, man, maybe since now we're going to ACL, we'll skip March Cup and try to get to Japan earlier so we can try and scrim some Asian teams. And Overlord literally just, I can't remember who brought that up. Overlord literally looks at him and goes, fuck that, we're winning everything. Which is the most intense energy, because it's a cup, right? For them, in that moment, it's probably more inherently valuable to go to Japan and get ready for ACL. And the unwillingness to let anyone else in NA even touch first place is very, very exciting. I think it should be incredibly motivating for the region, and I think that's a good thing. Because when everybody feels like they've got somebody to chase, it makes it a lot of fun. We saw that kind of in EU season two and three, mostly season two, where everybody was like, okay, who's touching this team? Right. And it was just a race, and it made things a lot of fun. So bringing that energy is not only pretty exciting, but I think it should be invigorating for the region as well. Okay.
Done. Yeah. No, that's great. It's a great final note on LG. If I was to add one more anecdote of what I think made them good, even right now, I think they genuinely have a few players who I would consider to be the best in the entire world on a few Pokemon. I mean, Overloon's got a case for Water Bear, heavy. Otter, I do think right now is the best Mew in the entire world, and I think Trainer is the best Mimikyu in the entire world. And those Pokemon were played a lot this weekend. So I think also another case for success. But actually, you brought it up. Before we talk about any other specific teams, we will, but we'll have to be pretty short. We're running pretty low on time here. No, we've been running long on time, I guess. North America, let's talk about as a region. So, three teams represented at this tournament from North America. Team Growth, Team YouTube, and Luminosity. Luminosity, obviously the clear favorites, but all three teams did make it out of the group stage and made it into day two. Team YouTube did kind of cannibalize the other NA squad in round one. It was YT versus Team Growth. YT was able to take them down 2-0. But from what we've heard, there are a few rosters, I think, that are on the grind going towards season four. That's going to be beginning in a couple of weeks. YouTube and Growth, definitely two of those squads. I think Orange Juicers are a very formidable team. Unfortunately, Nemesis could not come to the event, but another team that a lot of people have their eyes on. I know, like, Sobe, Tie-Dye, and, like, Zealot's new crew is, like, a really good roster. They're actually playing at a Battle Hub event as we speak. So there's some really cool NA teams to keep your heads up on a swivel for, because I mean, Team YouTube able to make it all the way to the semifinals, taking down Dream Max, like Baby Mazo's brand new team in quarterfinals, is a really fantastic thing to see. I mean, they're coming, like, they were saying it on their team Twitter, coming off of a, like, role swaps across the roster, like Chaotic on defender, Phil on attacker. It's like a brand new look for them. And they're looking awesome. They're playing really, really well. It feels like teams need to learn how to draft into the Gardevoir. This is one of those matches I was thinking of when I was considering a bit of a draft gap. I don't think DreamX drafted very well into the Gardevoir ever. And YT were able to play off it really well. So I think YT is a team that we're going to have to be looking out for. But either way, North America, exciting region to look out for. Bridget, do you have any thoughts on Tuzi and what this means for them in Brazil? Is this truly the best team that Brazil has to offer in 2Z Esports?
Based off of, like you said, Zling's, what we saw out of DreamMax, I would say DreamMax and 2Z were the top two Brazil teams. They made it the furthest, but sure. I thought 2Z looked insane on day two, and it really made me think, I'm like, wow, if we did have finals, like, on Saturday, would that have moment? Like, I think it might have been a little bit of a different game, maybe not, but...
No, I think that's a fair point. I don't know how different it would have been, but I think it would have been different.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
I agree completely. You know, LG was the team of the tournament, the team to beat, but on Saturday, 2Z was on one. They were on a run. Right. And when you're on a run, all you want to do is keep playing in that moment. And I literally think, it was Otter. I was chatting a lot with Otter after the tournament. He was like, if we were playing that set at the end of Saturday, 2Z definitely wins that game three. Like, there's
for
no
sure. Yeah.
Like, that game three is without a doubt. Like, Otter was like, I don't know how the rest of it shakes out, but they for sure would have won that game three. There's no way. There's no way we would have, one, been in the space to bounce back from what happened in there. But also, they were running so hot that their confidence would have been there, too. Yeah. And that could have been a difference maker. So, Bridge, I think that's a great point, and I agree with you completely.
Okay. Bridget, my question for you on 2Z, because I'm going to be putting stuff up on the whiteboard in the coming weeks very quickly.
Oh, no.
Here. I have not been kind to Brazil on my power rankings, and I apologize publicly to the camera in front of God and Brazil. I was like, listen, my apologies, Brazil. Now, 2Z Esports, let's say that AOS Cup, we ignore the open qualifiers like that will be happening at the event. We ignore any Asia invited teams. At the moment, you just consider the top of every TPCI region. We assume that 2Z gets invited. So that's OC, EU, NA, Latin, North, South, Brazil. What placement does 2Z get in a little mini tournament like that, do we think?
That's so hard.
Is 2Z, do they just finish in that eighth place? Do they get into the next round of the top? Like, are they top four? Are they top three? Like, how good is Brazil, do we think, globally? Now, reminder, if they run, they were able to take down Nouns Esports in a very close, you know, tight set in EU. They were able to take down Latin America North in Plaga, In not that close of a set. I mean, there was like one game in there that was like a little bit tighter, but it felt like Tuesday's energy was just kind of unbeatable there. And then they went on to play LG. Now, this was in front of a home crowd, and Tuesday does feel like a team that's a high emotional team. There's factors here. There's so many factors. So I will let you think on the answer. For me, I am putting there somewhere at fourth. Third. Ooh, maybe fourth.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was, okay, I know we don't have I'm like, okay, EUIC, AOS Cup is, you know, probably a lot of European teams. No right. offense to Europe, but Nouns is probably the best European team I've seen this year. Yeah. Probably the only one. And they beat them, so...
Okay, so
yeah,
above
I would
Europe,
say at least I would say at least, like, quarterfinals, yeah, top four.
Okay, yeah. Wow, top four,
Depending.
Maybe top three. I mean, they
Depending
beat...
Depending how many NA teams and other regions are there, I
that
think.
That is true, that is true. I was thinking of maybe just, like, a mini, only eight team, like, top from each region where it would end up. But, yeah, no, I think you're right.
I
it would
see,
be,
I see. Okay.
It was a bad thought experiment that took too much setup, but that is kind of
no,
where
I got there.
Okay, Dupsex, how about you? Basically, where do you power rank the regions, I guess, is what I'm really asking. The top of every region. Hmm. I think in the West, it has to be NA first. I think Luminosity is clearly proved.
It's not close.
Right, exactly. So considering a region as a one-team rep is a bad thought experiment, but that's where we are right now. So
I see.
We're putting NA there at first. Who goes second?
I don't know. I don't know if EU survives this tournament, or I don't know if Noun survives this tournament.
Well, that's a whole nother thought process.
About to say, is this just the West or is this all the Eastern?
No, it's just the West. It's just the West. Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's absent. Basically, what I'm saying, with all of this to say, is that Tuzi, I think, made Brazil look even better going into this year. I think Tuzi has proven that in this tournament, beating teams from so many regions specifically, so EU, LATAM, North. I think that has proven to be that, like, now when you're looking at all the invited teams to the tournament, you very much have to focus and prep for a Brazil squad. I do think that is the case. Tuzi, notably that one. So that is that's where I'm going with this. Okay, let's talk about so much on this tournament. We were there, so it was a big deal. Let's talk about the two underperforming teams in a major way. Nouns Esports and Fusion, they both finished in the top eight in the quarterfinals. In day two, they did not win a match because they had the one bye. They both went undefeated in their group leading into day two, but in day two, they both lost close sets to the opposing team. We already talked a little bit about the Nouns Tuzi matchup, about what kind of went down in that game. Felt like Nouns losing it for themselves a little more than they were. Tuzi was winning it, but still, Tuzi conquered in the end. Yeah. Nouns is an interesting question. I mean, Dupsnax, you were mentioning there might be roster changes on the horizon for that team. Who knows? It is an interesting spot to be. Bridget, you also mentioned Europe. It feels like a pretty shallow region in terms of how many teams are competing, how many teams are really considered to be at the top level. Nouns is in an interesting spot because who do you practice against? Who are you competing against regularly? We'll see. I think Nouns is going to have a difficult path forward if they do stick together of actually like improving rapidly to the same way that we've seen Nouns in the past. I think it's going to be a tough road. They got great pieces, but it's going to be difficult. Any more thoughts on Nouns from this tournament?
Yeah, we can go back in time, and I could tell you what was wrong with Nouns year one and what was wrong with Nouns right now. Uh-huh. It's the same stuff over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously don't have the answers, otherwise I'd just give it to them so I could see them be successful, because I think the players on that team work hard, and I think they're trying very hard. But whatever these pieces are that aren't meshing together, I don't know if there's the capacity to fix it right now. And I think if they're going to make a change, it needs to be before these AOS Cup plans.
Right.
And if you don't, then I think you're locked together for the year if anybody wants to have a chance realistically to go to Worlds. It's just tough. It's tough to watch. It sucks to see. Mm-hmm. But that's just the nature of the biz. And I would be very unsurprised to see a roster shakeup.
Okay. fair enough. Bridget, how about you? For any thoughts on nouns or no?
Yeah, just kind of echoing Dubsack's sentiment. It sucks because it just feels like, yeah, they have all the pieces. It seems like a meta they would thrive in, and it's not like they did bad, but it seems like, you know, those little mistakes just always seem to get them. Especially like right in that like top six, top eight kind of placement range.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they haven't fixed it now, it's a really hard thought experiment to try to find a loophole that they do fix it in the future. So, yeah, I think we most likely see changes from nouns. I think that is the most likely thing that happens before the Eos Cup play-ins. If it doesn't, we're going to have more question marks. But we'll see what goes on. Maybe you don't need to regionally. I don't know. But obviously, this team is gunning for more than just regional success. They're a very historic team. I think nouns is the organization that's been in at least Western Unite by far the longest, which is pretty cool. But let's talk about the other team. Fusion did lose to Plaga. They were able to go 5-0 in their group. But when it came to the quarterfinals, they could not find a way to beat down Plaga. Fusion, I think, is a roster. We've talked about this ever since the Eos Cup that they won, have been having, and I say this technically, weaker performances ever since that event. That being said, they won everything regionally, except the matches were probably too close for the the level of competition that they were having. And then they got fourth place at Worlds, which is still the best performing Western team, and they had a great run. But you could tell there was like clear cracks in the armor. If they weren't on their Mons that they really like playing, they weren't really finding success, and it took like good teams to really force them out of that comfort zone. Yeah, Fusion's interesting. However, we did have the chance to hang out with the Fusion guys post-tournament. And I gotta say, the vibe I was getting that they were very aware of the problems they were having, at the very least, and are like, you know, are focusing in on those and making sure they try to correct them. They might be doing a bit of role swapping, but I don't think we see player swaps for this team. Which will be, you know, interesting. Maybe we don't even see the role swaps, but it sounds like we might have someone filling in a jungle, someone switching up the top. I'm not too sure, but either way, I don't think there's too much to worry about for Fusion, but they certainly aren't the Fusion that we saw at Eos Cup. I think that's fair to say. Any thoughts on Fusion for the two of you?
No, they seem to be on a downswing, but a good way to think of it is not necessarily a downward trajectory, but more of a pendulum swing, right? So like they peaked at Eos Cup, they're swinging, they're adjusting, they're trying to catch back up, they're learning new stuff, and the hope is the upswing, right? And it strikes at the right time, going presumably back into Eos Cup.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Bridget?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened on that day two game, because I feel like when I saw their streamed matches on day one, they were stomping pretty hard. So I don't know. I'm not sure what happened, but I was really excited about Plaga, honestly.
Yeah.
I was pretty happy for them. So. Yeah, I was hype watching that Fusion Plaga set. That was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah. I'm curious if they become the new big bad of Latin America North, right? Like they've been trading tournaments with that E7 squad. I don't know what team name they're going to be running under this year, but like Reggie's team, basically. Mm-hmm. It feels like they've been trading tournaments for the entirety of this game's existence. It's been Owen versus that crew, and they're just constantly swapping who wins what tournament. So, I mean, iron sharpens iron in a very good way to put Plaga all the way in the top four of this tournament, which is cool to see. But okay, I think we've talked about the storylines and the teams and everything kind of to death at this point around this tournament. So let's take a very quick second to talk about some of the stats behind it. So we got, I mean, obviously, weekly shout out to Poker. We still got the hope of the day. Okay, there we go. Weekly shout out to Poker for making some amazing stats threads. Make sure to follow that account. You can see it on screen there. If you want to get all these stats, they do more than just Pokemon selection, but we'll get into all that too. Here we go. Top 15 Pokemon most used in a 2 and 3 of LAIC. So this excludes the group stage, but honestly, I think at this point that's fine. Maridon is standing at the top of the board. I actually was insanely wrong about this call, by the way. I said at the beginning of day 2, I was like, I think we see less and less Maridon because I was assuming that it would get banned more and more throughout the tournament. I was wrong. This Pokemon did not get banned more and more. In fact, it just got more present. A 62% play rate. The only Pokemon to break into 62 and also has a 55% win rate. Big, surprise to me, I guess. I was really confident we're going to see more run events. We did not. A few other changes. This is maybe one of the most surprising stat lines on here. Umbreon, with 19 picks, was almost 60% pick rate, 59.4% pick rate, and only had a 36.8% win rate. Interestingly enough, Eldegoss, similar stat line, exact same pick rate percentage, but only 42% win rate. So Eldegoss and Umbreon here, hurting a little bit in the selections. Now, the asterisk about these two Pokemon is that Luminosity Gaming was playing a surprising lack of these two Pokemon. So that is helping to the loss percentage of these two Pokemon a little bit, but I do think it still is interesting. I mean, 19 picks to go for a 36.8% win rate is a surprising stat line to see at Umbreon, to say the least.
Yeah. All it tips the cap to me is conventional wisdom is how a lot of teams are stuck there, and it doesn't matter how skilled you are. If somebody has a much better strategy and the same level of skill or higher, then you're setting yourself up for failure, and that's exactly what LG got to do. They got to dangle all of these old school carrots in front of people. They're snatched up, and they didn't care. It wasn't even like their battle plan. Sure, Slash will take an Umbreon if it's there, right? But it wasn't crucial. Like, how many times did we see fourth pick Snorlax? Like, they literally did not care. They were marching to the beat of a different drum, and when they're the best team and they're smashing everyone, of course, like, you literally look down, 33% pick rate, 60% win rate. That's Otter, right? Urshifu, 28% pick rate, 67% win rate. That's Overlord. Like, you can literally, like, this Maridon pick rate, win rate, that's Curios. That's when those wins were coming in. They're doing it all day. So, I mean, you can just go down the line, and you can literally pick out the Pokemon that LG was playing.
That's true.
34% pick rate, 45% win rate, but that was only held water because of a trainer. So this is a perfect indictment that people need to start thinking of the game differently and evolve, because, like I said, this is a clear, clear sign that people are stuck in their old ways. They can get baited because they're thinking in the old ways, and the people that are dangling these carrots don't care about them. So you're literally following the path that they want you to walk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. A couple other stats that excited me at the very least. Blissey with just an insane win rate, 63.6%. Mm-hmm. This Pokemon's broken. I love Blissey so much. I think it's such a phenomenal support right now. Blitz Assistance might be, I mean, it's getting close to one of the best Unite moves in the game. Cool to see it there. Dupsnax, I'm really sorry. Glaceon at 22.2% win rate. That is, dang. I know you love it, but
fraudulent.
Yeah, hate to see it. Fraudulent Glaceon. Sarah Legend about 50% win rate. That actually doesn't surprise me too much. Leafeon at only 37.5% win rate does surprise me, actually. That feels like a Pokemon that I don't really care what team you're on. Usually it finds some form of success, but I suppose if we only can use the top 12 teams worth of data, then yeah, maybe we're seeing a little bit more exposure there. Also, Trainer LGC never got to play this Pokemon in Day 2, basically. permanently banned against them.
Yeah,
interestingly enough, most used by roll, win rate, and loss rate difference. I'm sure I saw the ban wheel on this thread somewhere, too. Maybe I missed it. We might not have ban percentages on this stat line run. But either way, really, really cool and interesting tournament. Oh, sorry, Bridget, I didn't give you a chance to talk about any of the stats here. Any numbers particularly exciting to you?
Nothing too crazy. I do think it's interesting when you were calling out Leafeon, just how little speedsters were played during these sets.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like we saw a good amount of, like, maybe I was watching ACL and they were playing Dodrio. I don't know.
Dodrio was everywhere except here.
I swear I was seeing Dodrio somewhere, like, kind of a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm really shocked by it. That is yeah, very, very little into this tank, which is interesting. Might have a tough Maridon matchup. Might have a tough Darkrai matchup, straight up. Dodrio does not like when you're invincible for half the battle. But yeah, it is a tricky option. But yeah, maybe we'll see more Dodrio when we head into the online qualifiers. We'll see. Maybe Psyduck will totally turn the whole metagame around. Who knows? A few other Pokemon that we didn't see make the graphic that I think we all thought were quite good. Blaziken and Gyarados, neither of them make the graphic for day two, which is, I don't know, kind of surprising. Those Pokemon are very good, but we're in an attacker meta. It seems like Pikachu, Maridon, Mew, like Glaceon, there is a lot of attacker options that are rising, and it's getting more difficult to play melee Pokemon, which I don't consider a bad thing, considering how long of a metagame that we were in, where everything was melee all the time, always. So I think we're at an okay look. Okay. Well, to tell you all the truth, I think we are getting to the point in time with this podcast where we should probably be pulling the plug pretty soon anyways. So I think we will save our Asia Champions League discussion until next week. We'll allow there to be a little bit more stats. We'll get two weekends worth of tournament statistics in terms of Pokemon selection and stuff in there. Also, their stats are going to be a little bit skewed. They had a few interesting global bans for their event. I know Japan had like Zarina and Darkrai globally banned from the actual play, so that would skew things a little bit, especially in terms of ban rate and stuff. So we'll be talking about ACL, I think, next week. For this one, we're just going to give you that LAIC recap and get you excited for the season to really start in earnest with online tournaments beginning in 2 weeks for the AOS Cup play-ins. That is going to be wild stuff. Anything else we want to mention before we close out here, Dupes Next?
Follow at Big Bridget on Twitter.
Perfect. Bridget?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Fantastic. Well, then the easy plug is just going to be tune in to Overdunk Podcast next week when we talk a little bit more in depth about the Asia Champions League 2025. We'll see you all there, and I really hope we get to see you competing in the Pokemon Unite Championship Series this year. Bye-bye.